Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for those songs. They were really meaningful. The last couple weeks I've been doing something really different. 2 weeks ago I started a new job, and so I go from one place where I was for 12 years, familiar, comfortable, working with, know the people I work with, and total new environment. And I'm working at Byler Hydraulics on the road crew, and so I feel like I have a hand with about five thumbs trying to adjust to that. It's been good. But this morning, as I was thinking about, maybe that's why I picked this topic this morning, I'd like to focus on the power of the word, the importance of the word. And even when life is changing around us, we can look at that and say that that never changes. And one of my premises this morning is we give the Bible power and influence in our lives because we believe and trust the giver of those words. So we give God's word importance because we believe in God. And I really think it's important for us to weigh the words of this text. And I was just doing a little bit of research, and you know, it's an amazing book what we have here. And I think the earliest known written text is about 800 BC, but then there was events that were recorded from hundreds of years before that. And I learned this in college, but Jewish scholars would meticulously copy word for word the entire Old Testament in Hebrew in scrolls and parchments. And they would spend days and weeks and months doing this, and they'd have checkers that would check their so that there was no mistakes that were made. And so many different authors in one book to have a united theme of Christ and who he is and what he's doing. And so for the early church, the Old Testament was their scripture. And then as the apostles and some of the early writers began to do some writing, and some of those texts began to be seen as authoritative next to what was already had in the Hebrew Bible. So what we have today is our sacred text, our sacred writing. And it's been preserved for us, even though there's a lot of different attempts to knock it down and take it apart. So we take the text, the words, seriously. And I'd like to just kind of unpack some passages of Scripture this morning, looking at the importance of the foundation of trusting what's here. I'm going to start in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. And we know Peter as an apostle was an eyewitness. So he had the lowdown on what actually happened because he was actually there and experienced it. So there's other apostles and other people. But Peter is saying, as he's starting here, I want to jump in 2 Peter 1, verse 19. But before that, Peter is just kind of laying his credentials. He's saying, I was there, I seen it, I heard it, I experienced it, I felt it, I touched. life with Christ. And so because of that closeness to the event, Peter's taken some authority here as an apostle. I'm going to start reading at verse 19, 2 Peter 1. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to spend some time on each of those verses. So here Peter's an eyewitness. He's saying this stuff was confirmed in what he saw and heard. And then he kind of says, you guys would be doing yourself a favor if you listened up here. Because I seen it. I was there. Do yourself a favor. Listen up. And then he says something really interesting, and this comes through in a number of these passages. Pay attention. And then he says, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. And some of you guys are hunters here. And it's quite a feeling to be sitting in the dark waiting for deer and watch the sunrise. And you go into the stand or field or wherever you're sitting, can't see anything. And slowly as the sun rises, it starts to illuminate the trees and the field and the grounds and hopefully some deer. And the prophetic word, the Scripture, is like this. It lights up. It brings to light what's inside, what's around us. It's like a light shining. So it's a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And then Peter says this, know this first of all. Know this first of all. So he's saying, this is really important. Number one, first thing. First thing to be made aware of. And then Peter repeats himself when he says, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Then he repeats it again. No prophecy was ever produced. No one made this up in their own heads. This was... no prophecy was ever. Men spoke as they were carried along. So men spoke, and I like to picture this. So men spoke. So we speak English. In a lot of the writing that was done in the Scripture, they were either speaking Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek. So men spoke in their mother tongue, their language. Men spoke from God. So they spoke in their own language from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what that says to you, but I know when I was a young dad and I'd carry my children, I had to get pretty close to them to carry them. And so these men spoke in their own language, close enough to be carried along by the Holy Spirit. So I guess the number one point as we start out this morning, I want to emphasize is that our trust or faith in the person of who God is, that's why we trust the words. Because God is the one who gave it. The words of this Bible, this text, comes from God himself. And that's what Peter is emphasizing. here in this passage. And so as we put our faith in God, we can trust that this is His words to us. So it's God's message to you, to us. It's God's message specifically. So we weigh the words. We don't worship the words. We worship God who gives the words. And that needs to be our starting point when we look at Scripture. If we're going to weigh them, we need to know and trust and believe that the language comes from God Himself. Let's look at Hebrews. Another passage. Hebrews 4. I'm going to start at verse 12 and read to 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So this, the beginning of the verse here, verse 12, for the word of God. So this isn't just any word. This isn't just any God. This is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Life-Giver God. And it's His words. And it's living. And I don't know if you notice in your Bible, but it's written in the present tense. So when the Hebrew writer was saying this, the Old Testament had been there for thousand years maybe. And he's saying that it's in the present tense, this Word of God is living. And I think it was true then, it's true now. This Word of God is living. It has life in it that we can tap into in 2016. And the Word is not just living, but it's active. I don't know if you've ever seen passive living. I've seen some of that. But this stuff is active. This Word is active. And then it says it's sharper. So it's a tool of exceptional value, and it's double-sided sharpness. In my new job, there's tools that are valuable. This is more valuable. This word that's living and active, it's sharper. And then it's piercing. And I don't know if you remember Ben. I don't know, where's Ben? He prayed this morning that, and he didn't know what I was going to preach on, but he used, in his prayer, he said, when we were praying during Sunday school, that the word would pierce us. He used that word. So I don't know what you think about when you think about piercing. I think about something that's cutting through the mustard. Cutting right through to the point of dividing and separating. And it talks about dividing the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Like, that sounds a little gory. Seems like some sort of a surgery or something. This living word, active word. I've never experienced surgery. The closest thing that I have is probably Darlene pulling a splinter out of my hand, and that hurts. But this word that cuts and gets to the core. And then it says, talks about the dividing of the soul. And the soul relates to our emotions, our beliefs, our thoughts. It divides it up. Spirit relates to our ability to connect with who God is. Our dog Shira doesn't have that ability. As humans, we do. We have the ability to connect. And this word pierces and cuts through. And this word, it discerns not just our thoughts, but our intentions. So, like, what I think of with that is that it discerns the motivations behind our actions. Not just our thoughts, not just the things we believe, not our, just our preferences, but it really gets down to the basics. And then it says, no creature is hidden. All are naked. Without exception. So it's unpacking this a little bit. Emotionally, spiritually, it's like we have nothing on when it comes to what God sees. I don't know how that feels to you, but most of the time we like to have a cover over how we're feeling and thinking. But it's exposed to the eyes of God. He sees and he knows. And we give account to him. You know, getting close to God and trusting what he says, it sounds a little dangerous. Taking his word at face value, how many of us are up to that when it comes to that kind of exposure, the cutting and the surgery? And it really helps when we can trust the person who's doing the cutting. It really helps if we can trust the person who's dividing it up. And for those of you who have had surgeries, sometimes the surgery has to happen in order for healing. And I really believe that has something to say what this verse is saying. All are naked and exposed. We give account. God sees. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And this living act of word cuts through the mustard. And it's the cutting that we can, it's in the cutting that we're able to heal, be made whole. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. I'll just read that verse, those verses. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 16. But as for you, Paul is talking to Timothy here, and is kind of admonishing him, challenging him. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul's saying to Timothy, keep on acting on what you've learned. Trust it. Trust the people who gave it to you. And then he's saying his familiarity with Timothy's scripture would have been the Old Testament. It was making him wise so he could find faith in Jesus. And then I want to spend time on verse 16. All scripture. So all the words. The whole thing. There was a few years ago, there was this thing called the Jesus Seminar. And this group of self-proclaimed scholars would sit down with the Gospels, and they would go through the texts and try to just determine whether Jesus actually spoke these words or not. So they would cut and paste and read a passage, and they would cut out what they thought Jesus didn't say. But here it says all scripture is breathed out. I don't know, when I think about breathing, so this is God, and he just goes poof. He just breathes out words, scripture. So he breathes it out, and it was a present reality while Paul was writing. He breathed out the text. And when we breathe, it's our internal organs that are putting that together. And so this is internal reality of God's nature. He's just breathing it out. So what we find here is in essence who and what God is. It's native to his insides. This word. And then it says it's profitable. Those of you in business, you like to make a profit usually, right? It's a return. When you invest this, you get this back. It's profitable for teaching, instruction. And I've experienced a lot of instruction the last few weeks. Some of it hasn't been fun. But this breathed out word is good for instructing us. It's good for teaching us. It's good for learning, growing. And then it says it's good for reproof. I don't know what you think of when you think of reproof, but another word could be rebuke. It's kind of like if God was driving a team of horses, it would be his wool horsey. Stop right there. It would be God's wool, his reproof. This word reproves us. It has the ability to reprove us, this breathed out word. Exposing what's wrong. And then this breathed out word has the ability to correct us as well. And I think of changing a path or adjusting a direction. And Dallas Furman does a lot of competition with archery. And there's a lot of things you can do, a lot of things that have to be lined up in order for the arrow to hit its mark. And correction, adjustment can help an arrow. And this breathed out word of God is able to correct us as people who have faith who trust in him. And then it's profitable for training. In righteousness, honing a skill, developing and growing, not just any kind of training, but specific to righteousness and right living, living rightly. This word of God does that for us, that the man of God or the messenger of God can be a man or a woman that's a messenger of God. May be complete, equipped for every good work. So as we take this breathed out word of God, it equips us, it resources us, that we can plan for wholeness. It'll make us complete for every good work. And it would be, so I'm on a road crew with Bylers, and we have a truck that's stocked with all kinds of stuff. And when we go out to repair and work on things, we're fully resourced. And it's saying that this word does that for us as believers, for the good work that God has prepared us for. So we trust the giver of the words. It allows us to take at face value the truth of what he says because of what of who he is and our faith in him. So I'm just challenging us this morning, give the Bible power and influence in your life as you first trust the giver. I don't know about you guys, but I was really blessed back in October hearing Jason Reed talk about, you know, interpretation and where the starting point is. And he was challenging us to go back to the first church. How did the first church read the words? And he was challenging us to apply principles from the scripture based on how the first church read them, read the words, how they understood what was told to them, what was written. And they were closest to the event, like Peter. Maybe they have something valuable to give to us. And this was about 14 years ago. I was in college, and I was taking a marriage and family class. And this is a Bible college, but it's evangelical, many different denominations represented. One of the assignments in this class was to write my view of divorce and remarriage and talk about in my paper how I was going to plan to use my view in counseling. And that was enough to make me a little nervous because I was sure I was probably the only one that had the views that I did, but I did some research. And as I was writing my paper, I started looking at the texts in the Gospels, in the New Testament, Paul, Jesus' words. And in my research, I looked at how that, I found places where the early church, I wanted to see how the early church understood those words and what they did with them. And you know what? This is how they read the text. They didn't believe in divorce and remarriage. And they took the words at face value and attempted to live their lives accordingly. So they didn't make space. They saw divorce and remarriage as a state of living in adultery. And I would read books from people and they'd try to make it okay for divorce somehow, that they would make this state of adultery or act of adultery, and they try to separate it. So as I was writing my paper, I stated what my belief was, that divorce was not a part of God's plan, and that the early church, and I had backed it up with some research, believed that remarriage was a state of living in adultery, and it was sin. So, another part of this assignment, we're supposed to give the paper to someone who was divorced and then write a report on the interaction that we had. And I had a good friend who was divorced, not remarried. I let him read my paper, and it upset him quite a bit. And we had lots and lots of conversations. I handed my paper in, and I remember the words of my professor saying, you know, I've never seen anyone approach this topic in the way you did. And never seen it processed that way. And I was just thinking back to Jason Reed speaking, as I was listening to him, realizing that somewhere along the way, either in my home, in youth meetings, in Bible school, somewhere along the way, as I was growing up, the importance of God's word coming from God himself and mattering enough to stand on it to the point of it costing me something. This friend that I gave my paper to eventually did get remarried, and we were close enough. I probably would have been his best man. But I had told him that I couldn't come to his wedding because I wanted these words to matter more to me than that friendship. I remember we had moved here and emails we were getting back and forth. This friend of mine, he was in Manitoba. And it was hard for me to miss that wedding, to miss being with them. But I wanted the word of God to matter more than that. I was kind. I didn't push it in his face. I guess in my conclusion here, I want the word, I want my faith in Jesus to make space for me to believe in what he says. Matter more to me than anything else in life. And I want the word to matter in this church, in my life personally, and as we trust what God is about, that the word is taken serious and that our faith in God is what gives us confidence in what he says. Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the message that you've given us. English has its limitations, Lord, in representing who you are fully. And yet, that's the language that we speak and know. And so we take the words, the translations, and we trust, Lord, that the words that you want us to know and hear. And so, Lord, as a body and personally, individually, Lord, as we live our lives, I pray that these words would matter more. These words that come from you would be lifted up in our lives and they would matter more than anything else. Thank you for this morning and that we can lift your name up and the message of your salvation in these words we can trust and put our hope in. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.